I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Listen.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Welcome to the unorthodox, unconventional catharsis that is Road Warrior Radio. You're tuning in live this Monday, August 29th, 2022 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. I hope you had a good weekend and thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride, to be sure. Spengler's decline of the West seems to be in full effect, but we press on nonetheless. There are things that we can do. You know, I've talked about this many times for more than a decade, and I'm not the only one, obviously, but just things that we can do. And maybe we'll get into that a little bit more. I want to focus on audience member content a little bit to start this morning. But first, before we do that, it's just amazing to watch what is happening. I think we're starting to see the unraveling, and it's a strange moment where you can. I think it's very easy to make the argument for the value and the security, I guess, maybe safety and security, bad words. They've been conscripted, obviously. I think of that scene in Night and Day with Tom Cruise and what's her name, where he talks about that. But, you know, just the peace and the stability that the Bible confers, I think. You know, reading it, we can find controversy if we really want to look for it, but even the controversy, I think, can be reasoned out if we're willing to, you know, if we're not just on a witch hunt, so to speak. One of the biggest controversies that comes to my mind, or so-called, is what appears to be genocide in the Old Testament. What is that all about? And for that matter, why don't we see it in the New Testament? I think there's a good reason for that. I've talked about that before, but, you know, setting those kinds of controversies aside, you look at the Ten Commandments, for example, and it's a very stabilizing force in society that creates peace and harmony and cohesion in a way that's in a non-technocratic way. I had an opportunity to just kind of peruse a few things Stuart Chase over the weekend, for example, and it's just amazing. The antithesis of that is man trying to create some kind of homogeneous system himself that really is tyrannical in nature. It always ends up, you know, imposing some kind of system upon people that, you know, shaves the corners off of people and turns us all into little round pegs in technocratic fashion. And that's just awful. No one wants that. Or, you know, you have the two classes, basically one class doing that. And that's not, there's nothing enjoyable about that either. Not truly. There is no joy in that. And it's interesting. I just reflecting on all of this, how these things work, you know, you come back to this question, you know, Satan says in the garden and after, obviously, ye shall be as gods. And I think, well, you mean like you kind of, so to speak, you know, like you and these angels that are doing these Machiavellian things and pitting people against one another and playing people off against themselves and one another. It's a miserable thing, you know, so you shall be as gods. If that means being like you, buddy, I don't want it. No, thank you. But it's interesting to see the outworking of that in society. Traffic is something that is, I would say, my worst pet peeve, I'll just be honest. And I think I've said, for example, I think one thing that would change society significantly is if we all owned vehicles outright and had to self-insure. I think that would change most people's behavior. There would still be some who didn't care because it didn't matter and it didn't cost me anything, so no big deal. But still, I think even some of those folks, knowing that they're sort of financially driven, might reconsider certain behavior. And one might even argue that they're already more responsible anyway and probably don't behave as poorly and heathenly as the rest of us because they have counted the cost in one sense or another already. But it's just interesting to watch how people drive and how they take their hostility and aggression out on other people. The anonymity that an automobile confers generally is something that I think people take advantage of and behave passive aggressively. And so I don't know, maybe old school bad guys are right. Maybe we all should have bicycles. Or maybe if you are driving passive aggressively, maybe you should ride a bicycle for a while and then we can all see each other's faces. And what was the scene? I forget the movie even. Scene with Kevin James and Joe Rogan. That was in the bicycling scene in Here Comes the Boom, I think it was. It was already 10 years ago. So they're, you know, fighting on bicycles, basically, and maybe that's what we'd see. Maybe we would, as the pendulum swings, maybe it would swing further that direction, and we would see fights on the roadside, and then we would all realize how ridiculous this is, hopefully. Because I think there's also a Romans chapter 1 element at work here. I think it's a spiritual battle above all else. But I wonder if we would realize, you know, seeing now that we can't hide, there's no anonymity on a bicycle, so maybe we would realize how ridiculous this is. And there's no reason to do these kinds of things. And the social engineering is a funny thing. There is a kind of a primary mechanism. There's a kind of primary Skinner box operant conditioning at work. But then there's the butterfly effect, so to speak, where there are secondary and tertiary effects. So one person gets conditioned a certain way and then starts pressing on another. And, you know, on from there we go, sort of. I don't know. Maybe in Newton's cradle sort of fashion, if that makes sense. You know, there's this pushing that ends up pushing others and pushing others. And I think of Paulo Freire's Pedagogy of the Oppressed as well. So anyway, the point of all of that is that we shouldn't be doing that to each other. And as Paulo Freire pointed out, as I've mentioned, you know, he said the oppressed, you know, you have the oppressor-oppressed paradigm, which is central to Marxism. A lot of things. Man, I was listening to Walter E. Williams over the weekend and him talking about how he came to be the John M. Olin scholar and how that worked. Love him or hate him, the Olin Foundation shut down so that it didn't, in the words of Walter Williams, experience the kind of mission drift that foundations experience. I think that's disingenuous personally, but that's what he said. So, but you know, he said if they gave the endowment to the school, George Mason University, I believe it is, then if he left and the school had the endowment, then they would just hire some Marxist in his place. But since the foundation kept the endowment, they held onto the purse strings, then they obviously made sure that didn't happen. And so it's a fascinating story to hear. And if you're going to start a foundation in the spirit of Jefferson, Jeffersonian, you know, 1789 letter to Madison, the earth belongs in usufruct to the living, then what better way to do that than to make sure that the foundation doesn't continue on in perpetuity? Because as Jefferson went on to say in that letter to Madison, the dead have neither rights nor powers over it, the earth, that is. And so that's, you have to argue at some point that that comes into view. And that, I think, is exactly what Lysander Spooner's point was. Constitution, I didn't sign it. So, you know, whose constitution? And it's a fair point, unless we're just creating a society of mindless automatons, and it's worth considering. You know, it's worth pausing in our lifetime and reflecting over history and seeing the things that have happened throughout the course of history, and the continuity that has existed and the disruptions that have occurred. Important, you know, empires dating into antiquity, you know, coming forward to the Roman Republic and then the Rubicon moment and the Roman Empire and then the fracturing in the Western and Eastern European Empire, the Byzantine Empire, the British Empire, and then, you know, discussions of the thing on which the sun never sets. Important stuff. Anyway, how we behave, I think, is we have opportunities, and not repaying evil for evil, so to speak, as Paul reminds us. It's easier said than done, obviously, to have the strength of character to do these kinds of things, which reminds me of Oswald Chambers. So I will probably finish this segment with yesterday's entry for Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. And that would be August 28th, of course. that the title, and I realize some of these have been changed. You know, they're changing them. I don't think that's a good thing. August 26th was a good one. Originally, I think it was titled, Are You Ever Disturbed? And that has been sort of watered down. Now it's, let me see, I don't remember even what it is. Find it real fast. August 26th. Instead of Are You Ever Disturbed? Now it's Are You Ever Troubled? Like a bridge over troubled waters. And I think that's, I don't like that. Shouldn't be monkeying with those things. Just leave it the way that Chambers wrote it. So August 28th is what's the good prayer? And he cites Luke 11:1, Lord, teach us to pray. Fascinating stuff. This is a guy who had a handle on the difference. And I was also thinking about it recently. I think we read the Bible wrong most of the time. And our perception, our worldview is wrong. If our worldview is kind of from us to, this is my own perspective, obviously, from a Bible-believing, a biblically-oriented perspective. If we're seeing the world from our vantage point, thinking that, we are the creator, so to speak, then we are mistaken. And you can see that in the new translations. You can see it in a lot of the music. This is a thing that folks like Spencer Smith have taken issue with. There are more and more videos, it seems, coming out on YouTube that point these kinds of things out. But, it's vantage point and thinking that, again, ye shall be as gods. That is, has things turned around. And the old guard, again, from my utmost, for his highest, the foreword by Chambers' wife, she mentions the quote by Robert Murray McShane, men return again and again to the few who have mastered the spiritual secret, whose life has been hid with Christ and God. These are of the old time religion, hung to the nails of the cross. And so these are folks that understand it's him, it's him, it's him, it's all about him. And, that's the beginning and the end of the discussion. Today we're encouraged to, fancy ourselves and esteem ourselves a little too highly, or a lot too highly, as it were. So what's the good prayer? What's the good of prayer? What's the good of prayer? So he quotes Luke 11:1, Lord, teach us to pray. It's not part of the life of a natural man to pray. It is not part of the life of a natural man to pray. We hear it said that a man will suffer in his life if he does not pray. Chambers says, I question it. What will suffer is the life of the Son of God in him, which is nourished not by food but by prayer. When a man is born from above, the life of the Son of God is born in him, and he can either starve that life or nourish it. Prayer is the way the life of God is nourished. Our ordinary views of prayer, are not found in the New Testament. We look upon prayer as a means of getting things for ourselves. The Bible idea of prayer is that we may get to know God himself. Ask and ye shall receive. We grouse before God. We are apologetic or apathetic, but we ask very few things. Yet what a splendid audacity a childlike child has. Our Lord says, except ye become as little children, ask and God will do. Give Jesus Christ a chance. Give him elbow room. And no man will ever do this unless he is at his wit's end. I'll finish when we come back. Stick around.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
For his highest, August 28th entry yesterday, because today is Monday, August 29th, 2022. So yesterday's entry in Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest, continuing. It's a marvelous thing. So ask and ye shall receive. We grouse before God. We are apologetic or apathetic, but we ask very few things. And he says, yet what a splendid audacity a childlike child has. And that's not a misspeak or a misprint, because, according to the Bible, we're all children of God. But Jesus, as he points out, you know, unless we have the faith of a child, so except ye become as little children. So, yet what a splendid audacity a childlike child has. Our Lord says, except ye become as little children, ask and God will do. Give Jesus Christ a chance. Give him elbow room, and no man will ever do this unless he is at his wit's end. When a man is at his wit's end, it is not a cowardly thing to pray. It is the only way he can get in touch with reality, capital R. Be yourself before God and present your problems, the things you know you have come to your wit's end over. As long as you are self-sufficient, you do not need to ask God for anything. This is why maybe it's easier for a rich man to maybe it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get to heaven, so to speak. It is not so true that prayer changes things. I think I hear Brother Hutchings, right? It is not so true that prayer changes things, quote unquote, as that prayer changes me and I change things. God has so constituted things that prayer on the basis of redemption alters the way in which a man looks at things. Prayer is not a question of altering things externally, but of working wonders in a man's disposition. And so, you know, to go back to what I said about Paulo Freire's Pedagogy of the Oppressed, he wrote, the oppressors who oppress, exploit, and rape by the virtue of their power cannot in this power, cannot find in this power the strength to liberate either the oppressed or themselves. And, I mean, you see that in the life of Jesus Christ, for example. It's a fascinating thing. So, we have this dichotomy at work in society, and the Nietzschean contingent tells us that, you know, it's the Highlander game. There can be only one, and you have to keep striving for greater and greater power, but what is the end of it? What is the critical end of it? And we're living in an age where we don't think about those things. We're encouraged not to, in fact, and that all we have is this moment, like Orwell wrote. You know, there is no past, there is no future. There's just the ever-present now. And that's kind of where we are socially engineered to marinate or to be trapped, you know, a purgatory of the now, so to speak. Not to deny the, you know, the thing that some folks have posited. I think that Einstein even said, you know, that the past and the future are a stubbornly persistent illusion. So not setting that aside, but just addressing the fact that we are not encouraged to dig through history or to hold on to history or to hold on to our own American history, for example, or our own familial history. First, there was the shining of a bright light on the differences and disparities and then sort of harping on that. And now we're at the point where the clash of civilizations is sort of whittling down and whittling away things. We're being socially engineered to believe that certain things are, you know, we're supposed to be one giant homogenous group, and it plays out in very strange ways. And I don't know, maybe we'll talk about that too. Stick around, more right after this break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Manifests itself in weird ways. Get into that in a minute. First, Ephesians 4. In reference to your former manner of life, lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. It was interesting. I saw over the weekend this idea of truth. You know, I have referred to Hayek's Road to Serfdom, Chapter 11, The End of Truth, many times. Someone posted, there's a deal that floats around on social media. The point of modern propaganda isn't only to misinform or push an agenda. It is to exhaust your critical thinking to annihilate truth. Gary Kasparov apparently said that. And then this sort of caption that goes along with it: there would be no game of chess if the pawns refused to play. Or what if they didn't agree to be referred to as pawns? Maybe if they, you know, if we define terms, so to speak, maybe something different happens. So, Larry sent me the Dostoevsky quote from the Brothers Karamazov, which is an interesting book that several have weighed in on to hear what guys like Freud and others have said is interesting. So the quote is, a man who lies to himself and believes his own lies becomes unable to recognize truth, either in himself or in anyone else, and he ends up losing respect for himself and for others. When he has no respect for anyone, he can no longer love, and in him he yields to his impulses. This is part of the dehumanization that guys like Paulo Freire talk about. Indulges in the lowest form of pleasure and behaves in the end like an animal in satisfying his vices. I would say this is unfair to animals, because even animals are more civilized, so to speak, than this. And they don't typically cannibalize their own. So finally, he writes, and it all comes from lying to others and to yourself. And people don't realize that, yes, there is a lying to ourselves. I don't think that people understand how double-minded we are in this society. And if you're not familiar with the concept, look up the Bateson double bind. Even if you go to Wikipedia and just look it up and see, double bind theory was first described by Gregory Bateson and his colleagues in the 1950s in a theory on the origins of schizophrenia and post-traumatic stress disorder. So how can you engineer a society that basically deconstructs or sort of collapses in on itself? How can you spread mind viruses? This is a great way to do it. You know, to remove people's ability in schooling, for example, to diagram a sentence, to understand how language works. And then to replace that with what happened at Yankee Stadium last night. Speaking of this kind of thing, pop culture and that kind of thing. What was that exactly? Was that a ritual? Because it sure seemed like one to me. some kind of weird Aztec, you know, combination of some kind of Aztec and Druidic kind of pagan, you know, all of these award shows and, you know, halftime celebration thing, they all look the same these days. So if you're not familiar, it was the 2022 MTV Music Awards or Video Music Awards or whatever. And all of these people, are these real people now? Is, you know, I don't know. Eminem, was that his Christian name? Bad Bunny, Blackpink, Snoop Dogg, obviously. You know, are these given names? And when young people see this, they start emulating it. I don't know about you, but I'm seeing people who look like anime characters. That seems to be becoming, I don't know, the norm. People emulating these things. It's manifesting itself in very weird, bizarre, aberrant sorts of ways. So the double bind from the Wikipedia entry, under the section titled History, the term double bind was first used by the anthropologist Gregory Bateson and his colleagues, including Don D. Jackson, Jay Haley, and John H. Weakland, in the mid-1950s in their discussions on complexity of communication in relation to schizophrenia. And so, you know, we use the sexy term cognitive dissonance, but I think schizophrenia is the more appropriate term because it has a more arresting sound and connotation to it. Schizophrenia, you know, according to the Wikipedia entry, is a mental disorder characterized by continuous or relapsing episodes of psychosis. Major symptoms include hallucinations, delusions, and disorganized thinking. And, you know, when you hear hallucinations, that's, you know, like hearing voices and things. But more than just that, you know, seeing things or perceiving things that are not real. It's erroneous perception, essentially. Delusions and disorganized thinking. Other symptoms include social withdrawal, decreased emotional expression, turning into an automaton, and apathy. Symptoms typically develop gradually, begin during young adulthood, and in many cases never become resolved. How does this happen? How does one become clinically schizophrenic? Well, speaking of Bateson and the double bind, back to that. In their discussions on the complexity of communication in relation to schizophrenia, can you engineer schizophrenia? I don't know. Let's keep reading. Bateson made clear that such complexities in communication, that is, are common in normal circumstances, especially in play, humor, poetry, ritual, and fiction. See logical types below. Their findings indicated that the tangles in communication often diagnosed as schizophrenia are not necessarily the result of an organic brain dysfunction. Maybe Johnny should be medicated because, you know what, he has a chemical imbalance in his brain. Not so fast. Hold on. Instead, they found that destructive double binds were a frequent pattern of communication among families of patients. And they proposed that growing up amidst perpetual double binds could lead to learned patterns of confusion in thinking and communication. So what is it? What is the double bind? Well, Gregory Bateson and his colleagues defined the double bind as follows, paraphrased. One, the situation involves two or more people, one of whom, for the purpose of the definition, is designated as the subject. The others are people who are considered the subject's superiors, figures of authority, such as parents, Dr. Fauci, you know, et cetera, whom Bill Gates, et cetera, the academics. I agree with Walter E. Williams. You know, dumb people haven't messed things up. Smart people usually mess things up. I digress. Whom the subject respects. These are the figures of authority. This kind of leans into the Milgram experiment a little bit, don't you think? Isn't this the commercials that we see, figures of authority? So that's one, the first ingredient. Two, repeated experience. The double bind is a recurrent theme in the experience of the subject and as such cannot be resolved as a single traumatic experience. It's just Groundhog Day over and over and over. Three, a primary injunction. Remember what Bertrand Russell wrote in The Impact of Science on Society, 1952? Diet, injections, and injunctions will combine from a very early age, a legal or equitable remedy in the form of a special court orders or the like that compels a party to do or refrain from specific acts. Follow the rules. A primary injunction, and sometimes it's just social coercion. Sometimes it's social pressure. A primary injunction is imposed on the subject by the others, generally, and these are, you know, the others being these superiors or figures of authority. Primary injunction is imposed on the subject by the others, generally in one of two forms: A, do X or I will punish you, or B, do not do X or I will punish you. The punishment may include the withdrawal of love, the expression of hate and anger, or abandonment resulting from the authority figure's expression of helplessness. Four, a secondary injunction is imposed on the subject conflicting with the first at a higher and more abstract level. For example, you must do X, but only because you want to. You know, this is the conversation between Aaron Russo and Sheldon Cohen in Russo's America, Freedom to Fascism, when Cohen is saying, you know, voluntary compliance. Do you stop at a red light in the middle of the night when no one's around? Most people do. It's called voluntary compliance. And like Aaron said, that's a perversion of logic. For example, you must do X, but only do it because you want to. It is unnecessary for this injunction to be expressed verbally. It can be implied. If necessary, a tertiary injunction is imposed. This is number five, on the subject to prevent them from escaping the dilemma. See phrase examples below for clarification. Six, finally, Bateson states that the complete list of the previous requirements may be unnecessary in the event that the subject is already viewing their world in double-bind patterns. Bateson goes on to give the general characteristics of such a relationship. A, when the subject is involved in an intense relationship, that is, a relationship in which he feels it is vitally important that he discriminate accurately what sort of message is being communicated so that he may respond appropriately. B, and the subject is caught in a situation in which the other person in the relationship is expressing two orders of message and one of these denies the other. C, and the subject is unable to comment on the message being expressed to correct his discrimination of what order of message to respond to, i.e. he cannot make a metacommunicative statement. Thus, the essence of a double bind is two conflicting demands, each on a different logical level, neither of which can be ignored or escaped, and can't be reconciled, by the way. This leaves the subject torn both ways. It's the classic catch-22, right? This leaves the subject torn both ways so that whichever demand they try to meet, the other demand cannot be met. I must do it, but I cannot do it, is a typical description of the double bind experience. So it's a lose-lose prospect. And the more, as is expressed, the higher and the more abstract these go, the more it sort of induces a sense of learned helplessness. And you end up with people. I saw a young lady today all dressed up in her fancy fit gear that looks like jammies, shouldn't be out in public in these things, with a mask on outside in the fresh air, in some of the freshest air in the entire country, with a mask on, with a gentleman. I presume they are together, they're a couple, don't want to be too presumptive, but I think they were. He's not wearing a mask. She is. This is what happens. You can tell the psychological breakdown by that kind of thing. And I wonder, with the masks, it's not just, you know, when there are riots in the streets that we can't identify provocateurs because everybody has a mask on. But maybe also, I don't know, AI is measuring, you know, you have cameras everywhere that dump into federal databases. And how many people are wearing masks? How many situations do you find like this where, I don't know, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, we've all seen it in the grocery store, you know, kids wearing masks and parents not, that kind of thing. How broken down is society at this point? Stick around. We'll be right back.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer: 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer: 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Where you spend money says a lot about what you value. I'm Peter Serafin, and this is today's Liberty Minute. Rather than 87,000 IRS agents, what if the federal government funded 87,000 school resource officers? That would be a school resource officer for 2/3 of the K-12 schools in the United States. That would be a big accomplishment if school shootings were really a priority. Or it could be a border patrol agent every 0.4 miles along the southern border to stop the fentanyl from flowing in. Fentanyl that has become the number one killer of people 18 to 45 years old. Instead, our government hires 87,000 agents of the Internal Revenue Service to collect your tax money for their pet projects. Clearly, our federal government values your money more than our children. Find more political news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Sivis Pashem, Parabellum.
Welcome back.
Beyond the sun,
So again, Ephesians, you know, what can be done? What is to be done, dear comrades? What is to be done? Ephesians 4, 25, quoting Zechariah 8, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Speaking of the truth and the lie, you know, again, from Hayek's Road to Serfdom, chapter 11, the end of truth, he wrote, the moral consequences of totalitarian propaganda, which we must now consider, are, however, of an even more profound kind. They are destructive of all morals because they undermine one of the foundations of all morals, the sense of and respect for the truth. And I would like to offer a second translation from the Brothers Karamazov on The Man Who Lies to Himself. And we have time. We should have time in this segment. Above all, do not lie to yourself. A man who lies to himself and listens to his own lie comes to a point where he does not discern any truth either in himself or anywhere around him, and thus falls into disrespect towards himself and others. Not respecting anyone, he ceases to love, and having no love, he gives himself up to passions and coarse pleasures in order to occupy and amuse himself, or I would say distract himself, and in his vices reaches complete bestiality. And that's being normalized. That's being pushed in schools. I got an Imagine If library circuit story maybe I'll get to. And, you know, we're not pushing that. Vodi Bakum, I think, did a sermon not too long ago talking about how just because Jesus didn't address homosexuality directly doesn't mean that you can say, well, then, I mean, does every part of Scripture have to be reiterated by Christ? Does it all have to be in the red letters? Or do we not understand John 1:1, for example, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God? So that's a point that he makes, and it's a valid point. And so you have this drift, and it's creeping away from one thing and toward another, again in Romans 1 specifically sort of fashion. It's fascinating how that happens. If that's not a thing, then how are things creeping specifically in that direction? And people might say, well, you know, the Imagine If library circuit is not doing that specifically. No, not yet, but they will. That's what the whole genderqueer autobiography and pornography and all the rest of it is pushing toward. That's where it goes. It's not a stopping point. It's a milestone on a trajectory. It's headed somewhere. And the destruction and the downfall of Western society, you know, Spengler's Decline of the West is in view. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after the short break.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.